So glad to be back. Today we're going to start a new series, okay? And it's called The Gospel Explained. So we're going to take one more step deeper as we done with our the Apostle Creed, all right? Now, what is this all Apostle? Gospel Explained. We're going to go through, okay, the book of Romans. Say with me, Romans. When I was very young Christian, very young, I have to say very young. Now I'm young, okay? Now, very young Christian, I thought, wow, if you want to love somebody, you got to read this book. Because it's a book of romance. Okay, lo and behold. You want to go to the Philippines? You better read the book of Philippines right now. So that was my little funny way when I look at the Bible, what is it all about? So today, as we start this new series, Gospel Explained, which is going to explore the whole book of Romans. So you're going to take quite a bit, okay, of weeks. And some of our leaders, okay, going to help me to preach. Edwin, Casey, AJ, and then I was saying that if we came back on Friday, after a few hours, Mio flew back to KL because she has a meeting to conduct. And then the next morning, okay, a group of us traveled down, down to Every Nation Church Malaysia because attending a workshop on preaching. So you're going to see new preachers, okay, in the next half of the year. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, now, so we're going to explore the book of Romans. So at least this year, every year we're going to try to do a book, all right? So book of Romans is long. Some churches or some of the movement, they take what? It's not 1 month, it's not 3 months. Some take, 10, 20 years. That one you want to hear from Evan, okay? So there are churches who take just 20 years just to finish the book of Romans. There's so much, okay, to learn. So as we do this, it's not going to do justice, okay, to whatever that we're going to preach here, all right? So all of us, as you hear, okay, the message for this series, do a bit of study. So I encourage everyone, okay, from today, read the book of Romans so that when we talk about it, what is that? So that when you go back to a life group, okay, you have questions that you can ask. Any question you do not understand, life group leader will help you. Oh, life group leader. Okay, if not, just give a question, okay, we'll try to help you with that. All right, now our goal is that you will have a clearer understanding what the gospel is in that sense, all right, understanding the power, the purpose, the pattern, and practice, all right, which I'm trying to coin all the P's, okay, break the whole book of Romans into four parts, okay, as we look, okay, into that. Now, the book of Romans, today will be of introduction, and I'm also going to go through at least chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, all right, now. So the book of Romans is a Christian manifesto in a sense. You want to think about gospel, go to the book of Romans because Paul write in such a way that it contain, and you can also consider that this book of Romans has all this. It's gospel saturated, it's gospel centered, and gospel clarity. All right, it's so saturated in a sense, everything you read, wow, this is gospel, this is good news. And my prayer is that it will change you as you read it, it will transform you, okay, in your Christian walk. Then I came to know that in the early days, okay, the number of the scholars, okay, or people who turn Christianity around, changing the world and all those, they read the book of Romans. Okay, some of the earliest, like Augustine of Hippo, okay, at the year 386, this is some history for you right now. At that point of his life, he was feeling empty and more of like dead, do not want to live anymore. And then he read the scroll, and it was Romans 13 to 14. All right, that means he was in the stage where he just became slave, okay, to what sex is all about. So when he read this, it changes his life. Romans 13 to 14 says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify his desire. That simple two verses changed his life, and he became, okay, the scholar, okay, became the theologian, okay, of his time, okay, the Roman African theologian. And then probably you have heard about Martin Luther, okay? Martin Luther also read Romans, especially verse 17. And in August 1513, that's where the time when we talk about the Protestant reformer, okay, Martin Luther, who read Romans 1:17, that says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And that's where he led, okay, the reformation of the Christian world. Oh, that's church history, all right? So maybe another time we will think about maybe do church history. The last few 1-2 months, people have been asking me about church history. All right, probably we can do a series on that as well. Now, in one of his writings, he said this: the epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament. He's talking about the book of Romans, the epistle, all right, the letters. And the very purest gospel is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word by word, word for word, by heart, but occupy himself with it every day as the daily bread of the soul. So that's why I'm encouraging all of you, never read Romans before, please do so. Don't understand, never mind, just about reading. Just read, okay, read, and then go first round, second round, third round. I believe you're going to enrich your life. And then, probably you have known John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement. So in May, okay, 1738, this is what happened to him. He was at the time, he considered himself as failed, as being a minister and missionary. Went to a small Bible study, like going to a life group. So never despise a life group, okay, whether it's small, nothing's happening, you never know, somebody will walk in. So John Wesley walks into that small Bible study, and someone was reading about Martin Luther's commentary on Romans. So he's saying, you know, somebody just reading. Don't know how boring is that, lah. You know, sometimes you say, ayo, why this life group so boring? Just reading. Okay, now, you never know what the Word of God can do to your life, all right? Now, just be faithful, consistent with what you're doing. You never know, probably another John, okay, who walks in. Okay, all right, now. So reading that, yes, reading that. Friends, what about you? What about your story, okay, that probably changed you and all those? So today, doing a bit of introduction. Who is the author of the book of Romans? Don't say someone who is romantic. Okay, maybe. Yeah. It's none other than Apostle Paul, who's also known as Saul of Tarsus, and you read a lot of that in the book of Acts. All right, now, born 4 BC. That means way before Jesus was born, right? Now, he was Jewish rabbi, a Pharisee. That means being a Pharisee, you know what meaning of Pharisee? Far I see, yeah? All right, now. Very devoted to the Torah, that means the first 5 books. That means he memorized word for word. He knew everything, every single thing, all right, now. And the tradition of the Jews. But one day, he has a radical encounter with Jesus. You read that in Acts chapter 9, all right? So, then with that radical encounter, because he saw Jesus, all right, even before he believed in Jesus, all right, he knew something about this disciple of Jesus, and he, in his mind, is that all this disciple of Jesus has become a threat, okay, to the Torah and to the tradition of the Jews, all right. So, but Jesus met him, there was a radical encounter, turnover and transformation, and then Jesus commissioned him, okay, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, all right, and to spread the gospel to the world, okay, that means everyone, okay, including non-Jews people. So, if you read the book of Acts, so he traveled extensively, and you read about first missionary journey, second, third, and all those, which is you're not covering here, all right, now. That's where, in that travel around the world, he established new communities, okay, of what we call churches today, and he write letters, okay, to churches that he has planted, and he want to foster their faith, okay, and to answer the questions and the issues, okay, that's happening, okay, in the church, all right? So when you read Book of Corinthians and all those, so he's writing to answer all the issues that's taking place, all right? Now, when was it written? Scholars have found out that it's about AD 57, 58, and who are he's writing to? How many of us realize that the Bible is letters? They are letters, and they are not writing to you. Do you know that? Some of you, huh? Bible is not written to me. Yeah, because when Paul write that, okay, he's writing to the people. So when you read Book of Corinthians, he's writing to the people in the city of Corinth, that we have the parchment, or say the Bible today printed. Oh, this is what written. How was the Christianity at those times, and how the same time how it's impacted us today? All right, now. So when we read that, then it's historical faith. What happened those days? When they speak to them, what happened? What's the background? Okay, why the author said that way, all right, now. So these are some of the things that we need to clear as we read about, okay, the letters that you're reading. So Paul, writing to the Roman Christian or the Roman church, okay, which is in Rome, Okay, which means who are these Roman Christians? They are made up of two, okay, which is the Jews who are Christian, who believe in Jesus, and also the non-Jews. Okay, so it means when he's writing to the Roman Christian church, they are Jews and non-Jews, all believing in Jesus. Okay, but at the same time, there was a tension, okay, that is taking place, okay, right in the church. Now, when we read about Paul's letter, 2/3 of the New Testament, he's writing to the church that he has planted, or he know now, or he preached to, all right, now. But when he writes to the Roman Christian church, he has not met them, and is also not founded by him, all right, but he's eager to meet them. So he's writing in a sense, okay, to help them overcome the tension or the division that's happening between the Jewish Christian and the Gentile Christian in that same Roman church. Can you see that? All right, now. So when you read, as you read along, what, chapter 1, 2, 3, how many chapters are there in the book of Romans? 16. Say with me, 16. Okay, not too far, right? You read one chapter a day, 16 days you are covered. All right, now. And then read over and over again. All right, now. So when you read that, you have that in mind. Oh, what is Paul trying to say here? Why is he writing this to the Roman Christian church? All right. So to give you a bit more of the backstory is that if you do not know, Acts 2:10 is where Book of Romans haven't been written yet. Okay. Acts 2:10 is where you read about the Pentecost that's taking place. Acts 2 is where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? But in verse 10, they said that they were visitors from Rome. Believers from Rome came to the Pentecost festival, all right? Now, so with that, which means there are already believers who are there, who already scattered, okay, throughout the world, and they came for that Pentecost festival. So which means both Jews and Jewish, both Jews and the Christian, okay, believe the Gentile Christians were there. Now, the turning point is where at AD 49, there was this Roman emperor by the name of Claudius. All right, now, Emperor Claudius found that there were tension in these people. All right, when you think about people, what is that in the car when you're traveling? You say, when you think about people, what would that be? Problem. You sit down with someone, the heartbeat of people is always people, problem. All right. When you think about God's heart, people. Okay. So God is always thinking about people, but people always thinking about problem. All right. Now, so there was tension, okay, that's happening in the church between the Jews and the non-Jews, and all that's taking place. Roman Emperor Claudius came to know, and he was tired over all this tension that's taking place. So the AD 49, he expelled all Jews from Rome. All right, now, this is recorded in Acts 18:1-2 that says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew by the name of Aquila and a native of Pontus who had recently came from Italy, Rome, with his wife Priscilla. Anyone? Aquila, Priscilla? All right, now. Because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome, and Paul went to see them. So Paul is hearing, okay, what's happening, okay, in the church, okay, in Rome. Now, what does that mean when we read this? What happened to the Roman Christian church? So that means there was order given, all the Jews have to be expelled, they have to leave the country. All right, now, who is left behind? The Gentile Christian. All right, which you can think about, the Jews will be very strict with all their rules and all those practices and that they have. All right, now, so remaining left behind was the Gentile Christian, and they are the one leading the church. Okay, So think about what tension is going to take place now. So thinking about that, AD 49 expelled. 5 years later, AD 54. Emperor Claudius died. So when he died, some of this law or order given is also dissipated. All right. So now the Jews are coming back. The Christian Jews are coming back to the church. And when they come back to the church, guess what happened? So the Christian Jew was like, hey, what happened? You guys, you're supposed to be circumcised. Why are you not circumcised? Why are you drinking blood? Okay, all right. Now, what else? Those practices. Why are you not observing Sabbath? What happened to our dietary law? Oh, so this tension is taking place. Then the Gentile Christian will be saying, you're set free, Rima, by the grace of God. Okay, why are we still following this? So this tension always taking place, all right? So with that is taking place, Paul is writing, okay, to this divided church to call them to become united, all right? So on the other hand, Paul also wanted the Roman church to be his mission place because he wants to go as far as Spain. So to go to Spain, he wants to go to Rome and meet them, okay, and settle the issue and then moving forward, okay, to Spain right now. So likewise, okay, when we look at that, Paul is putting down, okay, his words into Book of Romans, become the gospel explanation. He writing in such that the thing that's going to solve your issue is understanding the gospel. Can you take one more step to understand what the gospel is all about and explaining, okay, declaring the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Now, when you think about the gospel, all issues in our life, if you get hold of what the meaning of gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that you are going through, okay, whether it's socially, culturally, relationally, politically, family, orderly, okay, so the gospel has the answer that changes heart and mind. Jesus is the answer to all man's problem. Can I go to amen? How many of you remember the song we sang some years ago? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Okay, now, Paul is writing that this gospel, okay, is not only to save us, but this gospel is to sustain you every day. All right, whatever issue you go through, when you think of gospel, what Jesus has done, when you think about your suffering, come on, Jesus suffered more than you. When you go through some difficult situation, you're going to hear one another person suffering. Wow, he's suffering even worse than you. All right, that you can take delight, okay, in the Lord. And then as such, okay, knowing that good news, knowing what God has done, okay, for each and every one of us, okay, we need, okay, to spread God's good news. Now, Paul wanting to show in his writing that to show us the desperate need of every human heart for the gospel. Now, we got 16 chapters. Huh? So, when I said that, we're going to tackle many of these as we go along, okay, in these 16 chapters, all right, now. So, with that, when Paul wrote, okay, the book of Romans is offering, okay, to each and every one of us, okay, the answer is because what God has offered us, His only Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ. Christ is our salvation. Paul also wanting to bring the clarity of the gospel in order to bring unity, okay, to the Roman Christian believers. Can you see that? So when you read that, oh, so in writing this, he's writing with that agenda, to that motive, to that goal, to bring everybody together. All right, so which means he also answering some of the issues that he has heard, okay, that's taking place, okay, in the church, the Roman church. Now, to give you an overview of the book of Romans, are y'all still okay? All right, is it too deep? Some of you are thinking, ayo, today we come for a seminar. No, okay, all right. So I'm just giving you an introduction worldwide. What are we entering into when we study, okay, the book of Romans? All right, now, I'm trying to do a blog, looking at the four blocks, and what can we narrow down, all right, now. So I'm looking at the four P's, right? Power, purpose, pattern, practice. So chapter 1 to 4, I'm going to cover the gospel review, okay, how Paul presenting, what is it all about. So we will go until July 3rd, okay, 6 weeks. Okay, unashamed today, I'm going to talk about that. Then go to unrighteousness, unrepentant, uncircumcision, and all those. Then the second block on purpose, will be God's, gospel freedom, gospel life, covered in July, August. July got four VNs, August and the four VNs, then we go pattern. I want to slot in, okay, a time that we talk about mission right now. The last 2-3 years, we couldn't really travel. This year, countries are opening, some are still wanting PCR tests and all those. Okay, going to Melbourne, come back. No need to do PCR tests anymore, all right? So we then want to slot in that. End of September will be our 17th church anniversary, and then go on to the last part, Romans chapter 12 to 16, to talk about Gospel Express, Okay, 5 weekends on that. All right, so give you an overview on that. And give me the liberty, okay, probably in some of those sections we might slot in some series break and all those. All right, okay, so practically what we're going to do, looking at the Paul's letter to the Romans, basically is the letter giving an instruction and exhortation, okay, of the apostle understanding of the gospel, having in mind the goal, his goal is to unite the Jewish Christian and the Gentile Christian to become one people of God based on God's righteousness. All right, now, that to say, part one. Okay, so today we're going to talk about unashamed. We're going to cover chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, let's do it in 15 minutes. Okay, now, verse 1. What is Paul's introduction to the Romans? Because he's his first letter to them, he needs to introduce himself. Okay, now, I don't know how you introduce himself. At every nation, Melbourne, Northeast, they asked me to do a topic called Victory Over Addiction. So I said, how many of you have addiction? Okay, of course I didn't say that. Okay, so I say in the Bible you have, you don't have the list of addiction that we have today. There's no shopaholic there, there's no internet addiction written in the Bible, all right, but a lot written on temptation, a lot written about drinking, all right. So I asked the question, how many of you love drinking? You know, in a place like that, everybody drinks, okay. So, how many of you love drinking? So, suddenly, they're so quiet. They're feeling the quietness and the gentleness and the serenity. I say, oh, you know, I love drinking. I love drinking water, juices, and all, so the whole crowd laugh, all right, now. So then, after that, they try to find out what am I addicted to. Okay, so as I go talking about that, you know, so sometimes when you talk about how to recover, how to overcome addiction, okay, if you go to any counseling, number one, you need to know, you need to confess what you're addicted to. So I say, in those counseling groups, small group of that, you have to introduce yourself. So I'm Jonathan. Okay, I am a durian lover. Oh, so they say, oh, Pastor, this is your addiction, this is your addiction. So after service, somebody can, Pastor, I know what's your addiction now, durian. So they took me for chendol durian in Australia. Okay, all right. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now, I think it was like one chendol, I think, I don't know, 10 Aussie. So the chendol bowl was 30 ringgit. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, okay, what is Paul's introduction to the Romans is how he described himself. Verse 1 says, okay, now, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Three things that he talks about himself. So if you want to introduce yourself, think about three things about yourself. All right, now, Paul said, I'm a servant. The Greek word is doulos. Doulos means belong to someone. So Paul is saying that I'm no longer myself. I'm a master. My master is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a doulos to Christ Jesus. I know maybe you're thinking about doulosship, okay, now. So I'm a servant now. I don't own myself anymore. Okay, I belong. Okay, my master is Jesus. Called to be an apostle. Okay, the word is apostolos. Okay, which means a messenger. A one that's sent out for mission. So that means he will gather. If best he can gather a team, then he go. Okay, to look at new locality, new people that he need to reach. Okay, apostle. And then he say he's set apart. Okay, for the gospel of God. Ophorizo. Now, set apart here. Now, for him, right, he's already a Pharisee. His whole life already set apart, okay, for the Torah and the tradition of Jews. Now, when he said, it's a second level already, he said that, now, I set apart now from all this, all his Torah, and all set apart now. Now, my goal is only for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, how many of you like to be an apostle? Like Paul. So that was how he introduced himself. All right, now, moving forward, what is Paul's attitude toward the gospel? Romans 1, verse 14, 17. And verse 14, 17 is the theme verse when you think about the book of Romans. All right, now, what is verse 4 to verse 17? Paul said, I am under obligation. Say with me, obligation. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. And to the wise and to the foolish. So more or less, you know, he's speaking to all these people, you know, in the church. There are these Greeks, there are these barbarians, there are these wise, and these are foolish, okay, in the church. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed. Say, not ashamed. And say with me, eager. Not that eager, all right, now. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Remember Martin Luther, because of verse 17. Now, what is Paul's attitude towards the gospel? So in these three, number one, he said, I am obligated. Another version say, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both wise and to the unwise. So Paul is saying, I'm a debtor. I owe you. How do you, how you can become a debtor? How many of you chase for money? Then somebody owe you right now. Well, how you become a debtor? Because you probably borrow money and now return. So now they're chasing after you, correct or not? So many of us take loan. Okay, so if you don't pay, what will happen? They will come, the possessor, the repossessor will come after you, correct or not? All right, now. So with that, become a debtor, whether you borrow money and can't pay back, and the along will come, okay. Or somebody gave you something because you need to pass it to another person. So if the substance or the object is still with you, then you are owing to that person you're supposed to hand to. All right? How many of you experienced something like this? I give you just extreme example, or not say really extreme. Let's say somebody is one of your very good friends, is going to travel, he's going to leave a country or be away for at least a year. And he said this, GP, this is my new car. Can you pass it to the other friend? Okay, so that he can use. And this is a really new car. You know, we were in the mall, in Australia, we were in the mall. And Tesla, let's say you go there, they have this, name me some shop, okay, Gucci, Coach, then Tesla. Okay, all right. So let's say, pass this car to this friend so that he could use. So, wow, why can't he pass to me? I can use. Okay, now, okay. So now he passed it to you, and the other friend is not around. So my goal is to hand it to this friend. Now, because this person is my good friend, I'm obligated to help him. Now, because it's with me, the car is with me, I owe this person because it's still in my hand and this person has not come. Can you see that? So Paul, Jesus given him the gospel and he's to pass it on. His job is not to keep the gospel. The problem with many Christians is we keep the gospel dalam pocket. Okay, never use it. Okay, so now, when you look at it, Paul is saying, I'm obligated. I'm also a debtor. Can you see that? So we have the gospel. The gospel is in our hand. We are not to keep the gospel. If you are keeping the gospel, that means we are the debtor. We got to give. We got to tell. We got to share. Okay? So I'm the doctor and the debtor, and I owe the gospel. Okay? Not just to one person, but to the whole world. That's how Paul looks at it. Okay? Now, moving on. So he said, I'm eager. Say with me, eager. New King James Version say, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Do you know, living his time, when he say, I am ready, do you know what does that mean? He means, I'm ready to die. To preach the gospel means the Roman Empire will come after his life. In order to receive Jesus or share the gospel, he's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to die for the sake of the gospel. All right? Now, and then he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, why is he saying that? Maybe he lived in that world. To believe a Savior that is dead. How many of them would want to believe in a Savior that is dead? So, many of them were ashamed. Okay, let's meet my Savior who is dead. But he didn't hear the second part. My Savior is alive. All right. So he's saying to stress the point that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Amen. All right. Now, the last 7-10 minutes. All right. Now, uncover this. Why is Paul obligated, eager, and ashamed of the gospel? Five reasons. Give me five right now. The gospel is the gospel of God. Promised long ago by the writing of the prophets. Not my own words, I just take from the verse. But it's the gospel of God. What does that mean? Paul is saying, this gospel I'm telling you is gospel of God. It's not my gospel. It's not Jonathan's gospel. It is from God. It's not me make it up. Okay, it belongs to God. The source is God himself, not from man. It's not something that we all sit down together and carve it out and that this is the gospel. No, this gospel is from God. We are not to change it, trim it, do whatever we want. But our part is to have joy, to believe, to declare and proclaim it. And Paul calls it the good news. The good news, the gospel, because God is the author and originated from him. And it is promised long ago by the writings of the prophets, because they are keeper of the prophecy. And they know this long time ago about the Messiah that is coming. Now, this word gospel, I didn't manage to put down, that is in the Greek, okay, pronounced as evangelion, good news. Okay, now, so for them, when they say gospel, is this word Greek in angelion, all right? So that means when they say good news, they talk about it, they share about it, and they talk about it all the time. Now, those days when they have gospel, this word evangelion, this word is a military word, which means during the war time, the general, as they won the war, they will send a messenger. That's why the word come avenger, the evangelist, because he's going to bring the good news. So he will come back to the city and announce, okay, that the army and the general is coming back at such a day, such a time. Now, you got to remember those days, no handphone, no email, nothing. So they're going to tell the whole city. So how are they going to tell the whole city? So what I discovered is that they will burn incense. And then that morning when they wake up, wow, the aroma, the fragrance. Then they knew that the whole city will get ready to rejoice, to celebrate because the general is coming back. Because they have won the war. Can you say that? So that's why when you read the Bible, there's this fragrance, it's meaning about the gospel. The incense that's burned, okay, to tell everybody, okay, what is going to take place. Today is like this. You go downstairs, wow, char kway teow. For 10, 12 days, you're trying to smell char kway teow right now. So that's our good news. Okay, now anyway. So you have your good news, but here is that they will talk about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, this was a promise long time ago. So this, okay, let's just move on. Okay, next one. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him great pleasure. All right, let me give him great honor. Okay, now, this is what Paul is saying, even before he made the world. So that's what he meant. He has written long time ago, this good news that they have, and they see that they receive it today. So my prayer is that every one of us excited to share this gospel. So all of us who have believed in the Lord, this gospel, take it one more step, share it. Okay, it's promised long time ago, and it is the gospel of God. And this gospel is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so all of us will probably have this question. Have you allowed the gospel come into your heart so that it allows it to change you, to transform you and empower you? All right, now, number two. Okay, the gospel is the gospel of God for everyone. Say everyone. Okay. Now, that's where we look at verse 5 to 6 that says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nation. Is the gospel only for Malaysia? Even some do not want. Okay, now, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, the gospel is the power of God at work, saying who? Everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Just in case you miss verse 5 to verse 6, in the same chapter we have read just now, verse 14, I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians. So he's mentioning everyone, to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He's saying what? To the civilized and also the uncivilized. To the wise and to the foolish. If you are lamenting to the clever and not clever, all right now. And not ashamed okay, for of the gospel, for it is the power for sin for to everyone or one person? Everyone, okay, who believes. So what's the meaning of everyone, Sean? Everyone means everyone. Check your dictionary. Everyone means everyone, all right now. I mean, funny to me to say that, but that's what it is. Everyone. Just think about, sometimes for us, like, ayo, this one can get saved, this one cannot save. Ayo, my this boss, ayo, forever cannot get saved. Sometimes we think like that, you know. You know what I mean, or? Okay, this one, ayo, very poor, cannot get saved. Okay, this one rich, like, even worse, cannot. So, we must get this mind out. Because the gospel is for everyone. Whether you clever, no clever, whether you greed or very wise or foolish, it's for everyone. Okay, whether you're poor or rich, for everyone. All right. Just imagine, if it is not, then different Jesus has to come. This Jesus is going to die for the whites. This Jesus is going to die for the yellow. Or you think about, okay, this Jesus died for all the Indonesians. This Jesus died for all the China. This Jesus died for all the Philippines. And this Jesus died for Malaysia. Okay, Malaysia only 30 million. Okay, probably choose a smaller guy. It doesn't work that way. Right? Jesus came once and for all, and it's a new universal God's plan. That's where in Hebrew 9, verse 11, 12, you hear this. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, and then through the greater and more perfect plan, not made with hands, that is not of these creations. He's talking about the tabernacle, they go in the temple. Now, he entered once for all. So there's only one Jesus that came. That's why when you read Galatians, not another gospel, not another Jesus, not another gospel. So when you read that, you know. So there are heresies that are going around. Okay, not sure. Okay, check. All right, now, third one. Okay, now it's 11. 5 minutes. Huh? Okay, now, the gospel is God's powerful plan to save everyone who trusts him. Now, verse 16, that's where I get it from. Okay, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Now, verse 16 really reveals Paul's heart, because he's talking about the power of God. So now going back to the emperor, the Roman emperor, all right now. So the Roman, right, everything's about power to control, okay, the power, okay, to obey, and all those, okay, rules, regulation, if not, you die, all right now. So which also means that when you think about the gospel, Jesus dying on the cross, what power are you going to talk about? All right, so now Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God to save. Because in the Roman Empire, Roman power, they don't have the power to save those who are wicked. They just have to kill them. They don't have power to change the heart. It's only through Jesus Christ, through understanding the gospel, looking into we are saved by his righteousness, not ours. All right, power to change. So the Roman Empire will not have this power to save, but only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when Paul talks about this power, it's referring, comparing, and contrast to the Roman Empire and the power that exists during those days. All right. So in their context, the city of Rome or the Roman Empire knew all about that power. The Greek, also the president of the Greek, knew of all their philosophies. But despite all those, they are powerless when it comes to the righteousness of God. Can you see that? All right. Now, so a question for us will be, are you able to get right with God? Talking about righteousness. All right. And number four, what's next? So with that saying, it's because of righteousness. So the gospel of God reveals the righteousness of God. So that is found in verse 17, the following verse. For in it, we have read just now, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as written, the righteous shall live by faith. So that is to reveal God's kind of righteousness given to sinners, and that is to put into our heart. All right, Hannah? Okay. The gospel come is not to condemn the guilty. The gospel is the good news to say that we can be delivered. Can you see the difference? If the gospel come is to condemn you, then who wants to receive? The gospel come is the good news to know that, actually we can be saved. That's the way. Long story. I got story going to end. I'm going to end. Okay, now, my grandma's story. When I told her, there's a moment, there's a short moment, he told me that, Aping, when we die, we go to hell. Huh? Go to hell? I said, no. Jesus has provided us another way. Then she was like, huh? There's another way? So that's how she comes, okay, to know the Lord Jesus, because she was so devoted, okay, to the Chinese God that she's been following, all right? So this word righteousness is this word, Dai Kao Shune, I'm not sure I'm brother, I pronounce it correctly. So it means, okay, to put right with, to cause to be in a right relationship. So which means they're looking at the power to change whether you are in the right relationship. If you are not in the right relationship, then it cannot. So you got to, the righteousness of God is to get us into the right relationship, okay, with God. And then the word faith, to faith, okay, it's talking about, okay, to go deeper will be the justification, okay, having to, the confidence and complete trust in God, all right? That means, in other words, if God were to justify a sinner, it does not mean he finds reason to prove whether he's right or wrong. God's justification means God will treat you as sinner, but in that process is that he look at you as though that you have not sinned. Because of Jesus dying on the cross, the very purpose, okay, justification, just as you have not sinned, because Jesus came to wipe out, okay, your sin. All right. So, question for all of this: have you received the righteousness of God? Okay. Fifth one, as we end, okay, worship team can get ready. The gospel is centered on Jesus Christ alone, only Jesus. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Say with me, Jesus Christ. Great Christianity, you take a week. Took away Christ, what you left? Niti. Christian iti. Okay, now. So, those days in our youth days, say Christian. So, if you take away Christ, what you left is I-A-N, correct? I am nothing. So, the gospel is always centered on Jesus Christ alone and not any other name, not any other person. Today, when you hear as Justin led songs this morning, and then Catherine comes out, talk about the name of God, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The center of Christianity is not a teaching. It's not a moral system, but it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we grow in our relationship on the person of Jesus Christ, well, then his teaching and all those become meaningful. Otherwise, it's a blind obedience and you do not know why you do so. All right? Just like when we are growing up, your parents tell you, don't go out on the street. Then you wonder, why don't you go out on the street? Very nice, play badminton, ride bicycle. But why if we cannot play outside? So when we don't understand, then it becomes just another rules right now. This Dr. Leon Morris, a New Testament scholar, wrote this. God is the most important word in this episode, Romans. Romans is a book about God. No topic is treated with anything like the frequency of God. Everything Paul touches in this letter, he relates to God. There is nothing like it elsewhere. So as you read, if it's your Bible, if you can circle in the dictionary or whatever, I'll just give you an example. This is just Romans 1, verse 1 to 10. You're going around, wow, Christ Jesus, oh, his son of God, Jesus Christ, his name, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, his son, oh God. Find out as many recurrence, because this book is about the gospel saturated, gospel clarity, and gospel Jesus-centered. So you look into that. Okay? All right, so I hope this is a good start. Yes? And in that same, we talk about Paul's attitude. What about our attitude toward the gospel? Are we obligated? Are we eager? Are we ashamed? Okay, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I go to amen? Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we begin the series on discovering and exploring, okay, the book of Romans that is so rich, okay, on what gospel is all about. How Paul writes in such a way in the theology, okay, that he talks about the gospel, Father, today I pray and ask, Lord, every one of us, our love for your word, okay, that we take this one step, okay, to know you more. Lord, let that be time where let the gospel preach to us one more time, okay, and that help us to grow deeper in understanding, okay, with that, Lord, that we be your walking letters. Let be us, Lord, a one, okay, that share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Lord, I pray and ask us, Lord, when we do that, bring unity, okay, in our understanding, okay, of who Jesus is. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, amen. Okay, give Jesus a big hand.